This is Pastor Bill bringing you a third portion of a review in Albert Mohler's What Do the Numbers Tell Us About Southern Baptist Convention? The numbers don't add up. The future of SBC. I brought to you parts one and two already, and part one and broke down the numbers that for the first time since 1987, or the first time since 1989, the number of Southern Baptist Church members has dipped below 15 million in 2018 for the first time since 1989. That's really stark. And then he analyzes what the numbers tell us. He talked about cultural leverage. You can find those first two podcasts. I won't belabor the point. He says, third, looking specifically at the baptism numbers, the decline is both remarkable and lamentable. The most obvious insight is that we do not care as much about reaching lost people as we once did. That would be the observation that should cause Southern Baptist greatest concern. Okay, I need you to hear this. In a day when Southern Baptists are doing far more missions trips than they ever have, far more outreach through Baptists on Mission in our convention, as far as our state convention is concerned, than we ever have, you need to consider that we're seeing a far greater decline of baptisms than we ever have. Now, for the listener who's new to the Baptist idea, we are not saying that baptism saves anybody, but we are saying that when you read Scripture, a converted heart wants to identify with Christianity. And the way that we do that primarily is through taking on the name of the Lord through baptism. Okay, so anyway, that would be an observation that would cause greatest concern. We will consider that question below. The second observation would quickly come in is that our methods of evangelism are not as effective as they once were. Honestly, that argument is beyond refute. Southern Baptist growth was largely driven by revivalism and its programs. Now, if you're not sure what revivalism is, listener, I'm cutting in now off the article. Revivalism is the method of seeing a movement of God worked primarily through methods. Primarily through methods. You got to get that. So when we talk about the First Great Awakening and Ian Murray in his book Revival and Revivalism, and that's summarized by a message in 2016 at Together for the Gospel conference on T4G.org by Mark Dever. The Second Great Awakening of the late 1700s sought to bring about the results of the First Great Awakening of the early 1700s. But they tried to manufacture the results of the First Great Awakening through methods. Now listen to this. We should not be surprised that revivalism is most effective in a context of Christian cultural dominance. Okay, so in other words, the article is saying we shouldn't be surprised that in a place when you have Christian culture dominance, that revivalism works the best. Okay, so everyone is expected to become Christians or Christianese. Now we just need a method to bring them in to compliance with culturally dominating ideals. So listen to this. In 2001, I had the great honor of serving as chairman of the Billy Graham Crusade in Louisville. We involved only evangelical churches, and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association led in efforts to help churches and Christians to bring lost people to the crusade. It was a massive effort. Dr. Graham preached the gospel night after night. There were many professions of faith, but the statistics revealed that the overwhelming majority of people attending the crusade were active members of evangelical churches. Even by 2001, we had passed the point when non-Christians came in large numbers to evangelistic events. Evangelism in today's America will be much harder and more personal. That's just reality. Now, I am bringing this to your attention, listener, because it is of utmost importance. This is Bill Sturm now talking. That we understand that a lot of the stuff that we have been attempting for some time is going to need to take some twisting, some tweaking, if you will, because it's simply, we have a different culture. It's not, oh, okay, so the gospel's lost its power? No, but the gospel nets that we employ need to have a different little shape. These 1, 2, 3 repeat after me professions will not have lasting influence in a culture that's dominated by other things. So without getting into what it is dominated by, ask yourself when the last time you formed a relationship simply to get the gospel to someone. If the answer is you have not or you cannot remember, we need to do some changing in our lifestyle. We need to slow down a bit. We need to go places we haven't gone before, and we need to do the work of the gospel. So, you know, that is why I've been driving since I've been here at Sandy Ridge Baptist Church. Driving, driving, driving. We've got to get to the point where we are willing to say no to some social, gospel-centered missions trips where we focus on construction projects and arm's-length evangelism, mass, you know, pamphlet distribution and whatever, and we actually focus on face-to-face gospel presentations. Okay, if you are listening to me and you would like some training on how to do this, the best training is observed with a person who does it. And I am willing, my wife and I are willing, we are willing to take you with us as much as you can go, you know, with, I'm sure, some reasonable maximum on our part because of other demands on our life in this ministry. We're willing to coach you in that regard. There are people in our church that can coach you. But if you are a deacon, if you are a Sunday school teacher, and you cannot talk to someone about why they are a sinner, why they need to put faith in Christ, how to put faith in Christ, we have got some major issues, and we need to talk. But I would just want you to see that if we continue to do what we've always done, we will continue to get what we've always gotten, which is great if the product has always been good. So my second word goes out to those of you who have said that you've been saved, but you have not been properly immersed. It is time for you to do this. There is nothing to pray about. You must do this. This is obedience to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're not a member of a church that requires it, you need to consider the biblical imperatives of being baptized and being a part of a local church. So if this is you and you'd like to talk more, call the church or call me, and or visit us tomorrow at Sandy Ridge Baptist Church, 10:30 worship, 9:15 Sunday school, 6 o'clock evening service, and we'd love to chat with you. Thanks very much for listening.